Rav. Menache, Menashe, Tachrif, it says the name of Rav, Zaysimeres, a Mukdam, or Ma'ucha, Batayo. There's no order in the Torah. You cannot base yourself based on what's written in the Torah to say, ah, this happened first and then afterwards this happened. Because Hashem moved around the parashiyos as Hashem wanted. Whatever Hashem wanted to put in a particular place, He did. Amar Popper, Loi Omron, Elo, Betray in Yoni. That what we said, that there's an Ein Mugdam Mokhe B'Torah, that what we said, that the Torah is not particular to put things in the right chronological order, that's only in two parshiyos. Meaning, if you look in the Chumash and the Sefer Torah, you'll see sections in the Torah. Certain sections, they're split up with breaks in the writing between the two sections. Sometimes it's a nine-letter space, sometimes it's the end of the line space. But those are sections, those are parshiyos. And those parshiyos, between two parshiyos, there's no particular order. And sometimes chronologically it could have been that the later parsha actually happened earlier. Like we find in Bamidbar, that the earlier parsha, which happened in Bamidbar Tes, actually preceded the one that was in Bamidbar Aleph. So you see that the later parsha that's written could have actually happened earlier time-wise. That's in two parshas. In Trei in Yoni, in two parshas. And V'chad in Yona, if you find one parsha, one group of psukim, then you can't say that it wasn't given over in this order. Ma'idem mukdem mukdem, or ma'idem ma'ucha ma'ucha. What's written first actually was said first, and what's written later was said later. Dilei te'imachi, because if you don't say this, klal oprat, ein bechlal ela ma'asher v'prat. Right, as Rabbi Yaakov was just giving a shiur just beforehand, that there's different type of ways that a Torah is nidreshes. One of them is klal or prat. And one of them is prat or klal. The third one is not relevant for us, is klal, prat or klal. But there's two klalim which are relevant for us. Klal or prat. Where the halacha is klal or prat, the halacha is come to tell me only the prat. Although the Torah first mentioned the whole klal, but the Torah is then specifying, no, only what's in the prat. An example we said last week is the korbanis. It says in the beginning of Vayikra that you should bring from the behema. You should bring from the behema korbanis. And then it carries on, min ha-bokor u-min ha-tzoyin. So if it says behema, behema includes all animals. And then it says bokor tzoyin. Only cattle and sheep. So it's coming to exclude something. So what's it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude chayis. It's coming to exclude deer and things like that. Yeah, that deer can't, although they're kosher animals, it can't be offered up on the mizbeach. Because the pasuk says mina behima, which would include deer as well. But it carried on mina boko, mina tzoin, coming to exclude. It's coming to exclude something. It's coming to exclude anything which isn't bokor tzoyin. So that, how do we know that? Because it's called a klal and then a prat. And the klal a prat, ein be, how do we say this? Ein be klal ela mashab a prat. Tilei temaochi, if you don't say this, back to the gemara, klal a prat, in a case when you have klal a prat, ein be klal, the halacha is ein be klal ela mashab a prat. This only thing that the Torah referred to in that klal is specifically what was mentioned in the prat. But what about if it's the other way around? What happens if you have a prat and then a klal? What's the din then? What's the story then? So then there's lots of examples of this. Prat uklal. The Torah specifies a prat. And then the Torah talks about a klal. So, in that case, there's lots of examples to say, in such a case, the Torah means to include everything. If you have a prat and a klal, the Torah means to include everything. Here's some examples. It says, by a Shavas Avedo, Chinsaser Hamoyoi, Chinsaser Simlosoi, Chinsaser Chol Avedis Sechicha. So we had Chamoyoi, Simlosoi. Those are protim. Those are specific things which you have to do. You have to do Shabbos Avedis to his donkey, you have to do Shabbos Avedis to his clothes. Lachain Taser Chol Avedis Sechicha. And you should also do Lachol Avedis Sechicha. From the Chol Avedis Sechicha, it comes to tell you, you have to do a Shabbos Aveda to everything, including everything. How do we know that? Because it says Prat, and then Klal. Or another example, on Shabbos, it says about doing, your animals aren't allowed to work for you on Shabbos. So again, it says Shoucha, V'chamoucha, V'chol Be'emtecha. It says your ox, your donkey can't work. And also all the animals. So once again, we have a prat, and then a klal, and we go according to the klal. What does that mean? We come to include all animals. So we see there's a fundamental difference between if it's a prat and klal, or if it's a klal and prat. If it's a prat and klal, then it's going to include everything. If it's a klal or prat, it's going to exclude everything, right? So Meila says the Gemara, obviously here, the order of the Psukim, it must be exactly right. It must be as it's written. Because if Hashem said it the other way around, then what we think is a Klal Prat might be in fact a Prat of Klal. What we think is a Prat of Klal might be a Klal Prat. So we'll never know. Are these two things coming to include or coming to exclude? So it must be, says the Torah, says the Gemara, that by Chadin Yono, in one parsha, must be that there is a Muktim or Mukhbetayim. Right? Dilei Temachi, we'll go once more in the Gemara there. Dilei Temachi, because if you don't say that, Klal or Prat, Ein Bechlal Ela Masha Beprat. The principle that tells us Klal or Prat, that teaches us Ein Bechlal Ela Masha Beprat, Dilma Prat or Klal or. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's a Prat or Klal. V'su, and furthermore, Prat or Klal. In the case where you have a Prat and then a Klal, where the halacha is, Nase Klal Moisif ala Prat, the Klal is coming to add to the Prat, Dilma Klal a Prat, or maybe it's a Klal a Prat. So, Memela, you would never know if it's a Klal a Prat, Prat or Klal. Must be. And what's written is how it was said over to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how we got to last week. This is where we got to last week. Last week, Mordechai pointed out Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's kasha, which we'll just speak out one more time. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman had a kasha that what's the raya? What on earth is the raya that Hashem said over in this order? Maybe Hashem said it over in a different order, but the way we learn Klal or Prat is based on what is in our written text. That's how we learn Klal or Prat. And therefore, Loch Badli, how it was actually said over. If it's written in this order, that will teach us Klal or Prat in this order. So that was Rabbi Chanan's kasha, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman's kasha, and we explained that no, when Moshe Rabbeinu heard the words from Hashem, however we can understand that, but whenever Moshe Rabbeinu heard the words from Hashem, at that moment, it was given over with all the Yud Gimel Midas. It was given over with all Yud Gimel Midas, meaning with all the drashas of Klal Prat, Prat Klal. So had Hashem said it over in the wrong order, then, let's say, had Hashem said it over in a Prat Klal, then included in that Prat Klal would be that Hashem is saying that you do, let's say with the korbanos, that you can offer up with every single korban. If Hashem had given over the idea of korbanos by first saying the behemoths, which ones, specifying which ones, and then saying mikol behemoth, then Moshe Rabbeinu would have heard from Hashem they can offer up every single korban. And if what's written in our Torah is the other way around, then that can't be. It cannot be that Moshe Rabbeinu received some type of halacha from Hashem, and we're not going to be learning that. We're going to be saying the opposite. So it must be when Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from Hashem, when he heard from Hashem these words, it's exactly as what's written in our Torah. exactly what's written in our Torah. It's written in our Torah, first Behema, then Bokot Zayin. That's how Hashem said it over. Could not have been the other way around. Otherwise, it'd be a clash what Moshe Rabbeinu received from Hashem and what we're learning from Hashem. So says the Gemara, this is where we're up to now. Says the Gemara, Ihochi, if that's what you're saying is true, that we have a problem because of Klala Prat. Because of Klala Prat, therefore, it must be that what was said over, what we have written is exactly how chronologically it was said over. Ihochi afilo betrayin yoni. Why don't we have the same issue of Klala Prat in two parshas? You have a parsha written in parshas Vayigash, and a parsha written in parshas Bolok, which are two parshas very far away. But if there's a Klala Prat, so that should tell us, we're going to dash in Klala Prat, so there's a Klala in parshas Vayigash, and a Prat in parshas Bolok, so it must be Vayigash was said before Bolok. Because if Vayigash was said after Bolok, then we wouldn't be able to learn Klala Prat. If because of Klala Prat, it's mechayev us to say that the Torah was given over in this order, so why is it limited to one parsha? Even two parshas, you can have the same issue. One parsha here, one parsha there. One's a klal, one's a prat. It must be in that order. Otherwise, it's not a klal or prat, it's a prat or klal. Are you here, Rabbi Shua?
Yeah, it could be the same order, but still in a sense of chronological, historically, it could still be in a different order. Because according to Hashem, there's no sense of time anyhow. Past, present, future, it's all one. There's no continuum. We don't have a before and after necessarily.
How did Moshe Rabbeinu hear it from Hashem?
No, but that would be how as Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman answered his question, that the way the Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's exactly the way it was written down by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's fine. That still doesn't. That has no conflict with the actual historical order of things, because it's not a history book.
Right, Me'achus. So if we say in one parasha, it must be Hashem said it over in this order, because otherwise we'll have a clash between klal and prat. Right. So even in two parashas should be the same. Even in two parashas should be the same issue. So why are we saying in two parashas, the fact that it's written in this order is not a proof it was said in this order? It's not true. It should be a proof it was said in this order, otherwise we wouldn't be able to learn Klal and Prat. Right? We wouldn't be able to learn Klal and Prat.
Right.
Hey, Bernard, you're following? Bernard?
No, but why can't you say that
it's
said...
Yeah, I'm following. Sorry. I was muted.
Yeah, Mordechai, what's your question?
No, but why can't we say, and I think this is what Yeshua is saying, this is kind of what I was asking, that it's written in the order that Hashem said it, with all of the klali and the Yud Gimel Midos included. But the order that Hashem said it, which is the order that it's printed, which is the order that we learn it, does not have to jive with the historical order of things. So there could be a muktam mukhar in the sense that it's not historically accurate, but it could still contain all of the drushes in it because Moshe Rabbeinu printed it the way Hashem said it, with all of the drushes. It's just that those drushes were not necessarily based on the history. It's based on when Hashem decided to tell Moshe.
For instance,
if Hashem said... One second. If Hashem said it first, then historically it's first. Right? If Hashem said it first, historically it's first. So now, if Hashem said Parshas, but if we have a Yigash before Bolok, I'm just picking two examples, it doesn't make a difference. If we have a Yigash before Bolok, and it's written first, and according to what our Gemara is saying, there's no proof that it happened first. There's no proof it happened first. Right? I mean, even though the Torah said Hashem spoke in Parshas Vayigash to Yaakov, there's no proof that happened before Hashem spoke to Bilam in Parshas Bolok. There's no proof. Because It could be it's not written in chronological order. That's a very big, difficult thing, because how can we learn Klal HaPrat? Okay, maybe Vayigash and Balak is extreme case because it's different stories, but let's talk about within one parsha. One second, Yishua, I'm coming to you. One second. Let's talk about within parshas Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra. Right, within Chumash Vayikra. So there's lots of parshas in Chumash Vayikra, tons of them. Right? And I'm just going to start off from the beginning of Vayikra. Vayikra, Moshe, Vaydaba Hashem Elov, Hashem spoke to Moshe. And he told him one halach is about Korbanis. Later on, in about 20 psukim later, 17, 18 psukim later, a new parsha. The nefesh hisakiv korban mincha l'Hashem. Soiles mincha, soiles yeh korbanit. So we're saying on our Gemara, there's no raya that this parsha, which was in the next 17 psukim, actually happened later. It could very well be that Hashem said it earlier to Moshe Rabbeinu. It could have been that Hashem said it earlier to Moshe Rabbeinu. But then we have an issue. Because if there's a klal haprat from, let's say, Pasuk Aleph in Vayikra to Pasuk, to Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, it would have a clash between those psukim. A klal, if we have a klal and a prat there, a klal in Pasuk Aleph, and a prat in the next Perek. And we'd make a drasha klal haprat. Why? How can you? Hashem said it to Moshe Rabbeinu earlier. If Hashem said it earlier, then it's not a klal haprat, it's a prat of klal. Elamai, if we do Darshan Klal HaPrat, which I'm much coming to you, if we do Darshan Klal HaPrat, if we do Darshan Klal HaPrat, it must be that Hashem actually did say it earlier to Moshe Rabbeinu. The first parak of Vayikra was said before the second parak of Vayikra. And Hala, the whole of the Chumash Vayikra, you can have that. Yeah, you sure? What's your aura?
Well, I was going to say, towards the end of Parsha Shmos, we were talking about the building of the Mishkan. Okay, we have all this building of the Mishkan, and then later on we have the Parsha about the Cheta Egel. But didn't the Cheta Egel happen before the building of the Mishkan? Because the Mishkan was, and so right there you've got a chronological event that are happening in the different sequence than the sequence that's given the Torah. I know the Torah gives...
Fantastic, that's a good example. Fantastic. So what do we see from there? Ein Mukdim Umoch B'Torah. Fantastic, yes, Yeshua. You see from here, since it's two parshiyos, we can apply the principle, Ein Mukdim Umoch B'Torah. Now, there's no order. But the question is, says the Gemara, the question is, but if in one parsha, it must be in one order, because of Klal HaPrat, then the same thing should apply by two parshas as well. How can we have, let's say in your example, it says a klal in Parshas Mishkan and a prat in the Eger, and we're learning one from the other. How can it be? How can it be? If the story is in the wrong order, then you can't have a klal of prat. And if we do learn klal of prat, it must be that this is the storyline. It must be Hashem said this Parsha first, and then this Parsha. Because it must be that's what happened. Right? That's the Gemara's kasha.
So I have a question. Aside from Mukta Mamukha B'Torah, if you're saying that the order that we have it is the order that Hashem spoke, so how do we explain what we just had before? That in Bamidbar Aleph, Hashem is speaking about Iyar, and in Bamidbar Tesh, he's speaking about Nissen. So did Hashem first tell Moshe about Iyar, and then he told him about Nissen? Or he first told him about Nissen, and the Torah's out of, and then when did he say what?
Right, Mordechai. That was the Gemara's Raya. From there was the Gemara's Raya. Ein Mukdim Amoch B'Torah. That was the Gemara's Raya, that there's no order. And that's why you can have in the Torah a later event first. Right?
No, but no order, but doesn't no order mean that the order that Hashem spoke were not related to chronology?
That's fine. It's perfectly fine with me if the order Hashem spoke is not related to chronology. That's fine.
Okay, so then what's the difference? So then it can be in the same parsha. In the same parsha, it doesn't have to be related to chronology. As long we do Klal HaPrat based on what it said, and Hashem said it with all the drushes, like Rabbi Chanan Wasserman said, but it's not related to chronology. Just like, in other words, ask the question backwards. Instead of saying, well, if we say that within one parsha, it has to, you can't say a mukta mamukhar, so let's apply it to two parshios. Why not say it the other way? The same way you have two parshios that Hashem said with drushes, but not related to chronology, even within one parsha, it doesn't have to be related to chronology.
Well, I got you 100%. You're definitely making a good point, but let me try and clear up this sugya a little bit here. The Gemara says, "Ein mukta mamocha b'tayot." That means, although it says Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu in Nisan, after Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu in Iyar, we know, although it's written that he said it afterwards, we know that the parshas were not in that order, and Hashem actually spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu first in Nisan, and secondly in Iyar. That's what we can definitely see from the Torah in Bamidbar. Either parshas are written differently, not in that order, doesn't matter. Hashem moved around the parshas, and there also have been a parent. He moved around the parshas as he fancied. Of course, Hashem actually said to Moshe Rabbeinu and Nissan before he said to Moshe Rabbeinu and Iyar, but it's written in the Torah, not in that order. So the way we have it in the Torah, if we open up our Torah, it is not according to the chronological order of what Hashem actually said. That means in time-wise, Hashem said that later. That was written earlier. Right?
In Shmos, he does talk about what's happening in Nisan. We were talking about in Parshas Bamidbar, then things get mushkabalot in the sense of the chronologicalness of it.
In fact, in Chumash Bamidbar, we can see clearly that chronologically, the Chumash is not a history book, and what's written first is not necessarily what happened first.
So how did the Parshas get out of order? Did Hashem move them, or did Hashem tell Moshe Rabbeinu to
take them in a different way? He moved them. So Lashon of one of the Rishonim I just saw before, he moved them around because funny Lashon why he did it, but he didn't want people to be able to create things based on the Torah. That's the Lashon of one of the Rishonim I just saw before. Funny Lashon. It was Rabbeinu Peretz. I don't know. It's the Medrash Tanchuma and Truma says that Hashem tiltala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Parshas Shel Torah. Hashem moved around the parshas of the Torah. Shelo Ya'odam Koreh Parsha Ketana. So a person shouldn't read one small parsha. Ve'oisa bo kol chafetzai. And do everything what he wants from that parsha. Uboye kol mashiyitza. And create everything he wants. So I don't exactly know what this means. But the Rabbeinu Peretz brings a medrash that Hashem actually cut and paste. There was the whole Torah, and Hashem moved things around as he fancied. So that is what we see from Chumash Bamidbar. That's clear. And the shaila is it possible to say that also within one parasha? Is it possible to say within one parasha that Kilo Hashem cut and paste, and what Hashem said first appears second in that parasha? Is that possible? Says the Gemara, no, it's not possible. Because if it would be possible, we'd have a problem of Klal HaPrat. It's not possible to say that within one parasha Hashem did cut and paste. Because otherwise you have a baya of klal haprat. So the question of the Gemara is, so why don't we have the same baya, the same problem, with two parashas? How can you say Hashem cut and paste and moved around the parashas, even though he said one first, but you put it second? But if so, that knocks out our klal haprat. We'll never be able to learn klal haprat, because if you have a klal at the beginning of Bamidbar, and the prat in Bamidbar Tes, it actually is a prat of klal, it's not klal of prat. So it's all very confusing. How will we ever know klal of prat? Yeah, Yossi, you're following us? Excellent. Baruch Hashem. Mordechai, you understand that, right?
Yes.
Baruch Hashem. Excellent. So it says the Gemara, Ha'nicha l'mandoma. That's all good, according to the mandoma. Klal uprat hamuchokim ze mize. Ein donin oisoi bechal uprat. There is actually a machlokes between tanoim. Whether you would learn klal uprat, which are far away from each other. Are you able to bechal learn klal uprat if they're not in the same parsha? If you have one klal which is written in Bamidba Aleph and another one Bamidba Tes, and a prat in Bamidba Tes, do we have a right to say klal uprat? So the Isdin opinion says there is no such limud of klal haprat in two parshas. There's no such thing that you can learn klal haprat in two parshas. And if so, since you can't learn klal haprat in two parshas, there's no problem to move around the parshas. Hashem has no issue moving around parshas, because there's no mistake that's going to happen from droshas of klal haprat. So, Honi chalamandoma klal haprat hamaruchokin zeh mizeh. klal haprat, which are distant from one another. Ein donin oisai v'chlal haprat, we can't learn the klal of klal haprat from them. Shape, so then the Gemara, then this all fits in very well. Within two parshas, you can move them around. One parsha, you can't move around. Why? Because within two separate parshas, you never learn klal haprat. So there's no problem, there's no risk in moving your things around. Only within one parsha, we have the risk of ruining the klal haprat, and that's why it can't be moved around. Ela l'man d'omar donim, but according to opinion who says that you do learn a klal haprat even if they are far away, even if they're in separate parshas, we do learn the klal of klal haprat. Ma'ikele meima, what are we going to say? Well, how can we ever learn ein mukdumo mocha b'taya? How can we learn ein mukdumo mocha b'taya? Maybe there'll be if that will clash with the klal haprat. So we say ani meli v'chad in yono. Have a tree in yono, ein donim. So what do these last words mean? Hani meli v'chad in yono, have a tree in yono, ein donim. It's a simple, simple reading of the Gemara, if we keep with what we said earlier, what inyana meant. The simple reading is that even the mandama who said mochokim, it has to be in the same parsha. Can be far away in the same parsha. It has to be in the same parsha. In two separate parshas, then you would not say the klal of klal haprat. That's a simple understanding, keeping things simple. We said beforehand, chad inyana, tre inyana, that meant one parsha, two parshas. Keeping things simple would be the same here as well. Then one parsha and two parshas, meaning two parshas, Hashem didn't mix around, but one parsha, Hashem did. Sorry, two parshas, Hashem did mix around, one parsha, He didn't. Even if it's a very long parsha, they're not mixed around. So Mandalmo says you would learn klal haprat, Pratu muchokim zemizeh. Muchokim zemizeh means they're far away from each other within the one parsha. Far away from each other within the one parsha. Coming out from the Gemara, there's no mandama who's mati who would learn klal haprat if it's from two separate parshas. Only if it's all within one parsha. So there you are, that's the end of the Gemara. That's the end of the Gemara. That was, we'll have to be coming in the Gemara. Yeah, the Gemara said, "Avaraya from Chumash Bamidbar in Mokdum Amocha B'Torah." From the fact that we have Chodesh Sheni mentioned before Chodesh Rishon, in Mokdum Amocha B'Torah. Then Rav Nachman said, "It must be that within one parasha you do say what was said is written first, because otherwise we'd have a problem of Klal Prat Pratukla." But the Gemara is also two parashas. So I said, "No, two parashas you don't say Klal Prat." There's an opinion who says that you do say it, even though it's mochokim zeh mizeh. So it says that's all in one inyona. In two inyonas, you don't say it even if it is mochokim. You don't say klal haprat if it's two inyona. Now, what does two inyona mean in the end of the Gemara? What does it mean by two inyona? So we've said the simple understanding is it means two parshas. In two parshas, you don't say it. That's a simple understanding, but some learning doesn't mean that. Some learning means, Tuinyana means two subjects. In two subjects, you can never learn Klal HaPrat if it's Rochik Zemizem. But in the same subject, it can. So Mele would come out according to that, and the end of the Gemara is saying like this. We had a question. Klal HaPrat, how can you say in two parshas we would say, Eimok Democh Boteh, what happened to Klal HaPrat? Answer is, if those two parashas are talking about two separate subjects, then we don't learn any klal haprat from them. If the two parashas are two different events, one was talking about how to count the Jews, and the other one was talking about how to overcome Pesach, it's two separate subjects, no shaykhs with each other, then you will never learn a klal haprat from one to another. And therefore, since you'll never learn a klal haprat, Hashem can move it around, doesn't make a difference. Because you never learn a klal haprat from one to another in such an event, in such a situation. But if they're both, if they're both talking about the same subject, then we could learn klal haprat. And therefore, in that case, if we're talking about the same subject, then indeed, the order that's written is the order it was said over. Yeah, Daniel, what's your aura?
What does it mean to have a klal prat from two separate subjects? The only way that I know klal prat is you're dealing with the same subject, the same concept, and there's a detail and a generalization. How would you even think about a klal prat regarding two separate subjects?
Yeah, it's a good aura, like you're saying. I need to find the case. We have to find the case where it is. I'm just saying this chat because it seems to be that's where Rashi holds elsewhere. That's why I said over, but you're right. You need to find a case, a situation where it was that for some reason the subject was mentioned within another subject. I hear your aura. Maybe I'll try and find that for tomorrow. It's a good aura you're saying. So let's see some Rashi. Ein muktum umocha b'toyah. Go back from there. Ein muktum umocha b'toyah. Like pida toyah, the toyah was not marked with al seda muktum umocha on the order of what was chronologically first and what was chronologically later. Or parashas denem utchilo higdima hamocha eslo. The parashas were said first. The parashas of enema. Parshas Deneim Utchilo, the Parshas said first, Higdimoi Hamocherzlo, were written earlier, the ones that were later from it. Betrayin Yono, Bishtei Parshas. Chadin Yono, Mikrois, and Stories of Parsha Achas. Here Rashi explains at the beginning of the Gemara at least, Betrayin Yono, Chadin Yono means two Parshas and one Parsha.
Can the Rav read the first Rashi again, please?
A little bit tricky. Ein mukdum umocha b'toyah. The Torah was not makbid al seda mukdum umocha on the order of what was chronologically first and what was chronologically later. Or parshis denay mutchila and a parsha that was said chronologically first, higdimoi, Hashem preempted it with hamocheres lo, the ones that were actually said later. Right? Igdima, Hashem brought before it the parshas that were later than it. The three in Yonah, two parshas. Chad in Yonah, the crisis.
What does the last line of that Rashi mean?
Parshas, Hanem, Tchila, Igdima, Mochesla, those words?
Yeah.
I'll give you an example as we read it. Well, parshas, Hanem, Tchila, the parsha that was said first. Dainu Bamidva Tess, yeah. Higdimoi, Hashem preempted it with Hamocheres Lo. Hashem prefaced it with Hamocheres Lo, with the ones that happened later. I mean, Bamidva Aleph. Bamidva Aleph comes before Bamidva Tess in the Torah. Even though Bamidva Tess was said first.
So that's like the Medrash Tanchuma that Hashem just pulled them out of order?
The reason why he did, but Hashem pulled out of order. Nachon. Right. Okay, Dilei Temochi. Rashi, Dilei Temochi. We don't say this. To say the Ksivos and Emu, if we don't say that the one parasha was written in this order, how the Kainalon? Now when we have a rule called Klal or Prat, Eim Bechlal and Amashu Prat. Every Klal or Prat we have, the rule is, that although it says a klal, it doesn't mean the klal. It only means specifically the prat. The fisha ba prat, because the prat comes operate and specified. Shezeo a klal. It is specified. This is what was included in the klal. Hechesam chinola. How can you rely on that? Delma prat or klal. Maybe it's really a prat or klal. You think it's a klal or prat? Maybe it's a prat or klal. And also the other way around. We have a rule, Nasa, Klal, Moisiv, Ala, Prat. If you have a Prat and then a Klal, the Klal is coming to include everything. Shaloi Tome, you shouldn't say, In Klal, Ala, Prat, there's only a Prat, Okuyotsevoy. Or Klal, the Prat, or something similar to the Prat. As Novi, I'm going to read this Rashi again. Shaloi Tome, you shouldn't say, Ein Mekan, Ala, Prat. in this case, it's only the prat. Or anything similar to it. If we give the example we said about Shvisas Behemta, it says in the Torah, Shoycho Chamoycho, ox and your donkey. So you would say it means your ox, your donkey, and anything similar to that. But what about your chaya? What about your deer? A deer is not similar to Shoycho Chamoy. A deer is a chaya, it's not a behemoth. So how would you know that you mustn't have your deer working for you on Shabbos? Bechol Behemtachos come to include everything, even your deer can't work for you on Shabbos. Right? Lechein Hoisev HaKosov Klal Achrov. Lechein, therefore, Hoisev HaKosov. The Torah added Klal, the Klal Achrov, after it, Lehavi Koldovo, to include everything. Even if it's Bechlal not similar to the Prat, to include all that. If you're right, kashaloch, then it's going to be shav. Even two in yonim, tikshiloch. Even two parshas which should have the same question. So a dainin on klala prat, we would still say klala prat kishanoima echol mehem beparshazu. The echol mehem beparshacheres. If we have one in one parsha, one in another parsha, we would still say klala prat. So honicha deloy kashaloch. That'd be good if you wouldn't have it difficult if you would hold Lemanda Omar according to the opinion of Klal Prat and Ruchokim. Klal Prat, which are spaced out in Donim. You don't learn from one another. Where's that? Machlekas, Upluk, Dibim, and Ochas, Pekalam, and Ochas, Boris Matis. Ababa Kamer, Bachrevo. There's the Machlekas, whether you would learn Klal Prat. But according to Lemanda Omar, there you do say Klal Prat. You do learn it. Even though it's in two parshas, what are you going to say? Says the Gemara, we would only learn, even according to the Mandom of Merchokim, we would only learn Klal HaPrat if they are Bechada Inyonim, with one Inyon. With two Inyonim, you don't say Klal HaPrat. So I think by tomorrow we'll have to look in the Gemara in Baba Kama to see if we can work out exactly what this means. One Inyan, two Inyan, it's going to be in Baba Kama. As I said, the Medayik from Rashi, that Chad Inyan and Trei Inyan means, in this case, one subject and two subjects, not one parsha and two parshas, one subject and two subjects. We'll have to work out for tomorrow what an example for this would be, and who's Cholik in that. But as is, now that's where we're holding. We're holding that the Gemara is saying that by two Inyanim, with two inyanim, two parshas, two inyanim, we don't say klal prat, and therefore there's no reason for it to be in the same order.
In the Ihachi, Rashi says the word parsha twice. So why we're saying that inyanim doesn't necessarily mean parsha. It means idea, but twice he says.
That Rashi is one of the rays that Rashi holds. It means two subjects. Why? That Rashi says, Ihochi kashaloch, afkila betrayinyon, right? Tikshaloch, to hold dainin on it. We do learn klala prat. Dainin, we do learn klala prat. Kishenoima echomem bepasha zu, when one of them is said in this pasha, echomem bepasha ches, when one of them is said in another pasha. So Rashi is saying here that we do learn klala prat if they are in separate pashas. Then the Gemara said, okay, come to one mandoma, you don't. According to the other mandama, you do. So we do learn it if it isn't separate parshas. So what's the answer of the Gemara? Chad inyana, tre inyana. What does that mean? One parsha or two parshas can't be. We just said we do learn it if it's in two parshas. So it must be according to Rashi. Chad inyana, tre inyana means here, one inyan or two inyanim. If you have a klal prat in one inyan on two parshas, then you would learn one from the other. If it's talking about the same subject, then you would learn one from the other. But if you
what's
have...
What
do you mean? An example.
Sorry,
I'll give you an example.
Go ahead. Finish.
I'll give you an example.
I was just going to say that everybody would agree with Rashi on that point.
Well, see,
it's really the Gemara read. It would have Kuliyama, huh?
Well, see, that's
the Machloket in the Gemara.
Gemara, but the way Rashi is interpreting is that what inyano means, it doesn't mean parshiot. It has to mean idea or subject matter. And I don't see how anyone could argue on that that inyano would have a different meaning than that.
Let's give an example of something which is rochik. Okay? You have two aseres hadibris. One pasha is Yisrael and one pasha is Vaschana. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Two aseres hadibris. They're quite far away from each other. And we learn a klal aprat from one to another. So now, the Gemara says, b'chadin yano. That'd be very good. That'd be fine. You can learn a klal aprat. Because it's all in one inyan. That's if you learn that chad inyana means one subject. If you learn it means two, that trei inyana means two parshias, then we'll have an issue. How can you learn klal aprat from a seres hadibris? Right? That we're going to see in Tosis. He answers the question. But if you learn Rashi, chad inyana, that it's all one subject. So all one subject, you can learn klal aprat from one to another. And tomorrow we'll go back into working out what this Chadinyana Treinyana means. It's Kedai to have a look in Baba Kama Chayvad of Pehe to get an idea what the Machlokes there was, to look at the Machlokes between the Tanaim then Baba Kama Chayvad, look at up there, and then we'll be learning tomorrow Miat Hashem Tosis to be Masul Avol and Tosis to be Masul Avol. There's two Tosis in Avol. Two small tastes in. So again, today, to go over what we've learned, obviously, today, and to look up the Gemara in Achevel, and then to learn the two tastes in Avol. And we had some on Tuesday. We hope to be moving back to Bdikas Chametz and starting getting into, again, the nitty-gritty of Bdika and Bittel and Lady Eva Baliroi and all that Geshmakas Nosei, which we were once learning before.
I thought okay. When the Rav said, hopefully we'll be back, I thought you were going to say we're back in the base Midrash.
Yeah, we got to do something about that.
I'm happy to try again the base then. Maybe it won't be so noisy again.
I think we should just go wherever the internet is the strongest.
I'm happy to get back to the base. It's just of a drilling that time.
Right.
I think it's bad muzzle because they haven't been working at all last week. It's all just doing a bit of spachtel and thing. But I'm happy to try again the base then, if you want to try.
We should get the worker's schedule. Find out where what's there.
We don't have any schedule.
So only Baba Kama, not Menachos.
Baba Kama. Look at the Baba Kama one.
Okay.
So for tomorrow, let's say that we'll try again the base then. Okay? Everyone... anyone who's on the computer can just join on the computer. You won't see my face, but you'll hear my voice at least. And I'll try and be in the base then. And if it doesn't work tomorrow in the base then we'll have to work out some other idea.
Are you not getting Wi-Fi in the base then?
Yeah, they will eventually. But they haven't got it yet. It could be if Yossi wants to video me, that's fine. There is better there's a signal there. So it could be it'll come out clear. So if you want to try that, you'll see.
Why don't you just check with the builders whether they're going to be working there tomorrow or not?
Yeah, they don't have much of a plan. That doesn't seem to be working much of a plan. Mm-hmm. But whatever. That's I can great. Try and ask and see if it makes a difference. All right, okay. So have a good day, everyone. That's
thank you, Rabbi.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Yeah. We're staying here.